Turn with me, if you will, to start out with 1 Corinthians and go to chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's relevant to what we're going to be going over today in Sunday school. So let's begin with what the Lord has to say about this subject. Then we'll get to pink. 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians goes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity," again, or love, "it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeking not her own, and then not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." In the last verse, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Well, we're on the last chapter of Pink's book, Profiting from the Word. It's been a long haul. I don't know, we started back in November, October, it's been quite a while. So, but when we were giving out the chapters, Pastor Steve was asking for volunteers, and I just quickly called him back so no one would steal what I saw as one of the chapters, and that's the scripture and love. It's the last chapter again, but it had relevance to me just because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's taught me so much about love. Without the Lord Jesus Christ personally, I'm a different person. I'm looking around. My wife's not here yet, but you would not have known me before regeneration, before the Spirit of God dwelled within me. I've told you before I was a good person, but I was an earthly good person. I might have looked good on the outside, but the Spirit of God was not within me. But also in doing this chapter, I was reminded of two things that have been manifested in my life and have affected me greatly about what it is to love from a godly perspective. One of the incidents, I was in a psychotherapeutic situation, and a woman and a man came in, just wonderful people, delightful. Their issues were not therapeutically related to spirituality directly. I forgot what we were dealing with, but some issue either marital or individually. But in meeting these people and talking to these people, of course, my faith comes forth. I declare the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that conversation, the woman voices, she said, "Well, we're Jehovah's Witnesses." I say, "Well, we have not too much to talk about right now in terms of anything spiritual. But then I went on in the therapeutic process to inquire, you know, how did you come to that faith? And people of this group, of this Sunday school, her answer was profound. It sticks with me today. She says, at one point I was a Christian and named the church that they were going to. Some of you would probably know it. So I'm asking myself, I said, wow, what happened that you were drawn out of, hopefully, a faith in the true Lord to the Jehovah's Witnesses? And this is what she said in general. She said, well, at one point my husband and I got sick, and the people of our church did not come by to see us. They did not even seem to know we were gone. There was no help. There was no concern. And from this chapter, there didn't seem to be love. And then Satan reared his ugly head. She said, but while we were still ill, some Jehovah's Witnesses came to our door. And they started talking. We invited them in. And after they found out our condition, they began to bring us food. They began to call to see how we were doing. They just dropped by. They fellowshiped with us. And eventually, they were led to leave a church, assuming it was a foundational church, and ended up Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, we know the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith, so we're not concerned that Jehovah's Witnesses overpowered the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus Christ. But from a practical standpoint, which Pink is talking about in this chapter, it makes us pause and say, what is our love like first to God, but what is our love like to others? And it haunts me today that when I see a person, especially a Christian, professing faith, you take on a different view in my mind and my heart, because I know you're my brother, you're my sister. So therefore, as Pink is outlined throughout the book, not just this chapter, that you are special in God's eyes, obviously, but in my eyes as well. So we'll talk about, and that's what kind of an intro to what Pink is talking about. He's talking about this manifestation of this thing that those who are in Christ Jesus have. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a God who has shown you love and mercy and grace. And so what do? We should be reflecting that. Let me do the second one, and then we'll get on to the lesson. The second thing also is profound for me. I was at a meeting. It was at night. Didn't last too long, but it was getting late. And one of the people who had come to the meeting had come on a bicycle. And at this meeting, after it ended, they had to go a pretty long distance. So, you know, it's night, darkness, potential for accidents. So there was concern about this person riding this bike a long, maybe 20 miles. I'm not sure how, but 20 miles. So as a concern about his safety, I made the inquiry to the young man. I said, I'll take you home. And he said, you don't have to do that. I said, good, because that's 20 miles and I don't have the time. No, I would have taken him. But he said, somebody is already taking me home. Well, I said, who is that? So he said, well, Pastor Steve is taking me home. And at the time, Pastor Steve is sick. You remember this, Pastor Steve? I don't know if you do. Probably don't. Praise God. Let another praise you, not your own mouth. He's sick, and I'm saying, Pastor, I've got this. You're sick. You barely made it to the prayer meeting. I've got this. You know, I mean, it's a ride. And then he says to me about one of his sheep, this young man. I agreed to do it. And in the meantime, while we're riding, I'm going to be sharing godly principles and the Word of God with him. So you see the difference? And I hope you're not, I didn't tell you I was going to talk about this. It just came as I was preparing the lesson. But you see, he's the under-shepherd of Jesus Christ and our shepherd. So as he does that, he's evidencing what Pink is talking about in this chapter. we're in a world that is so visual. What we do, what we say has a high impact. And so when Pink talks about profiting from the word, he's saying get into the word, because the word will cause you to know and see the Lord Jesus Christ and be an example by what he does. And I know for certainty, I didn't say I was going to preach today, did I? I said I was going to do a lesson. I know what he's done for this person standing up. I know the love and compassion and the mercy he has shown. There was the old saying I have for myself, I would have condemned myself to hell if I'd been in authority, but he chose not to. So again, this is the introduction that we need to have our mind set on what it is Pink is doing. It's not just a cognitive, just not a, I know what this word says, I know the generalities. He's saying it is to permeate who we are as Christians, and not to neglect all the other things that have been said in all the other chapters, but this one is a connection to the unregenerate that is powerful. You can talk about the joy of being a Christian, you don't want to hear that. You can talk about digging deeply into the world, they don't care about that. You can talk about all the other things and a lot of the other things, not all, but the other things. They cannot fathom what you're talking about, but sometimes we can connect when we talk about the love of God and what he has done for us. All right, whatever that section is, let's move on. Today's lessons. I'd like to go over the format of the materials that we'll be dealing with. Everyone has that packet I talked about at first. Let's go over at least what's in that. Pink spent so much time, and he made the point that he could not present all that is related to love in this one chapter. And I knew that already. I've done other studies. Absolutely impossible. But he did give us, again, nuggets. But in preparing the lesson, and I know most of the people here are mature in faith, but I thought I'd do it anyway. On page one of your packet, you'll see some of the biblical words related to love. And we're not going to do that here. This is for your perusal later on. But in my own study, I found out that these are not exhaustive, because I was looking at especially the Old Testament, where, again, love was used, but certainly wouldn't have been Greek. It would have been Hebrew or Aramaic. So there are some other words, again, and if you do your own study, there was one word, it's A-H-A-B, and they seem to pronounce it Abhab, Ahab. And then there's another one, C-H-A-S. H-A-Q, Quashak, which is another word. So the Lord seems to be so concerned about us knowing and revealing himself through his love that he has provided multitudes of types of love. But primarily for us in the New Testament, we'll be dealing with the Greek that describes that love. What I'd like you to do next is kind of ahead of ourselves, but turn to the last two pages. I devised this, again, after reading Pink, and I've been a psychologist, so it was just a natural thing to come out. As part of our lesson, again, there's the preaching of the word, and we should all be changed in hearing it. There's also, again, from a Sunday school class where we try to grow in addition to what we have learned from the preaching of the word. And I'd like us, again, to review some things. And, Pastor, if you don't have the blessings on this, again, I didn't have time. Tell people to put it in the trash. But after going through all of Pink, it appeared to me that, hey, we're not just going to be this academician and academics-oriented thing. We're going to see what happens to us in real life. And I'll take one more minute, because I think something is happening here, pastor and congregation. We've got the young men who showed up from any and everywhere. We've got people who are trying to establish men. God's doing something at this church, and we need to be ready. And I'm sure he puts things ahead of what the actual need or event will be. So in my own spirit, it says if we're going to have that situation, if it's true, then let's be prepared. One of the ways we do this, Sunday school lesson again, test of progress in personal godliness. For me, and again, I'll speak personally, Pastor may have all. I'd like all of us at some point to take this test It's personal. You know, there's no grade. But at the end of it all, do as Paul says. Examine yourself. And if you find things in this format, let's go ahead and deal with it. There's a key on the last page. I had another key, but I abandoned that one. That one was a little more invasive. And it says, if you respond yes to the items, then continue in the spiritual grace and mercy and provisions of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, if you answer no, may the Lord give you more spiritual grace. Seek him more diligently through his word. Make use of your brothers or sisters in Christ to walk alongside of you in love to help you improve in any area of weakness. And as always, pray. And then finally, the don't know. We may be at a point we're not sure, so what we do is we'll explore it with the appropriate brothers and sisters or the consultant. I was going to include you, Pastor Steve, but you're too busy. He's the last resort as far as I'm concerned. All right, well, let's now go to our lesson for today. Any questions on that? That's four. My format is going to be consistent with what I like to do. In reading Pink, he seems to have every sentence that's important. He has so much information coming out that it's impossible for me personally to digest. So what I've done is I've taken the time and I've kind of put things in some categories, some orders, so that we might get at least some information. Psychologically, we know that our brain, though beautifully made by God, can only handle so much information at a time. After a while, it flies out, and even worse than that, the new information you learn kicks out the old information. So by the end of a time, you go, "Huh, what did he say? What did I know?" So praise God for that. So prayerfully, we'll be able to condense some of it and remember a good deal of it. Process. I was telling Pastor Steve it's a Sunday school class. So I'd like your participation. I could do it all myself, but then I could have stayed home. So what I like to do format-wise, let's go ahead and have people participate by taking a question within a category. And I've got the answers there as well as the question. Read whatever's there. Something in addition, you can go ahead and add it, or if someone else has to add, go ahead and do that. But I'll start first. In the categories, and he gave seven of them in delineating, again, the scriptures, again, and love. One of the categories he cited was the importance of Christian love. And again, got my attention immediately. And the question presented that we might want to focus on, which you might want to focus, what is meant by the badge of Christian discipleship? And the answer is Christians loving one another. And a reference given by Pink, John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. As I said before, just my own broadening. For me, when I first came to this church, didn't know anyone. But I can tell you that after a short period of time, I grew to love the people who were here. And it's a fascinating thing to think about and observe that people who are in Christ Jesus, how it is that you can come and have fellowship and love, even though you haven't known each other for a while. So it manifests that concept again from God, that we'll know one another if we can love. I do have to say that the congregation at that time was pretty small, so it wasn't a whole much to have to fellowship. We had 25, 30, whatever it was and stuff. So praise God, even within that group. And the other thing I'll add just for a class, the most interesting thing about showing that we love one another is that we cross racial, economic, political, just name every category you want to name. We've got it here. We've got it here. Oh, I thought I was getting a signal for something. We've got it here. And I see that this love of Christ in terms of the world, if they would even pay attention about what happens here, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would theoretically be spreading like wildfire. There's a Malcolm X quote. He said that the most segregated day in America is what day do you think? What's the most segregated day? What, Pastor?
Sunday.
Sunday. Now, for a nation that is under God, you say, how can that be? But it's the nature of man creeping in. Some geographics, but it's the nature of man. In this church, even in this smaller group, I don't even want to name all of the variations. So again, we love each other across all of the parameters that typically separate the world. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. We will know that he is his, we are his by our loving each other. Okay, I'm not going to hog the show, so let's go. All right, let's go with the second question under the importance of Christian love. A volunteer, or do I just name someone? All right, brother.
Yeah, so with the first point, I'll read the second one as well, but if you want. But the first point, I want to highlight something. So Pink, in his book, he actually uses, wisely uses 1 Corinthians 15 as like the foundation for this subpoint. And it makes a lot of sense because the last verse in 1 Corinthians 15, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So if you think about faith, hope, and love, these are like the three themes that Paul is using throughout the letter to the Corinthian church. But the importance of love, when you think about in conjunction to the other two, hope and faith, is love is something that lasts forever. Love is something that it doesn't, if you're in Christ, love doesn't die out, so to speak. It doesn't go away. Our hope at times can diminish. Our faith often does diminish, but love is something that is enduring. And I think when you think about the spiritual gifts, which Paul is really getting into at this point in the letter, all the spiritual gifts that we can have, if we don't have love, they're pretty much worthless. Like if you have a gift of preaching, which I think a lot of men do in this country, but they're not loving. Amen. And they're not showing men and women the love of God or the brethren the love of God, what they're actually doing is doing a disservice to the body of Christ because they're preaching a gospel message which may have truth to it, but it's not loving. So it's you're not bringing people, you're not showing people the joy of Christ. And to kind of bring this back and not take too much time, but when Pastor and I were working on the groundwork for the abortion ministry, that was one of his concerns, and it should have been as a pastor of this church, as a man of God, saying, yes, go out there, preach the gospel, but you're at a place where a lack of love can happen in a second because it's so heinous of a sin, right? You're dealing with murder. So you can get really overwhelmed with emotion and get angry and upset and abandon the love of the gospel and showing someone the joy in Christ by your anger or rage or frustration. And because we're human and we're made that way.
He said, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, there is a remedy against that attitude. We all find ourselves getting angry at sinners, but we ourselves are sinners. And honestly, we're no better than the people who are doing these evil things. The difference is God, by his choice, chose us to change us. And so we should have more compassion rather than anger. And I know that comes up, but we need to remind ourselves daily of the gospel. Part of living the gospel is understanding where we came from, who we are in Christ, and who we would be apart from Christ. We're the only people who have that perspective because the unregenerate will never know what they are without Christ. They have no comparison. And so of all the people, we should be the most compassionate and the most loving by how Pink defined it, understanding true Christian love, that preach the truth but love these people in a way that they understand that we are not in judgment over them.
To both of you, to connect two things. Pink points out two things that, again, profound. He says that if we are professing faith in Christ but not exhibiting love. He calls us a non-entity, just as you were saying. And you were saying, if you're out behaviorally in situations where Christ will be glorified but have not love, you're a non-entity, meaning that, again, they'll see you as someone aberrant, someone negative, someone angry or evil. But then he says, for us to check ourselves, that's why I like tests. He says, make sure that you, the brethren, possess the love of Christ. So he even admonishes us, not only is it external, but internal. Once again, examining ourselves. You were going to say something? Go to the question, whatever's good.
I was just going to say, that was a great point, Jeff. I think another thing that helps is, from what I've heard, to bring it back practically to our ministry that we have here at the local church, at the abortion clinic, I think hearing the brethren hearing the gospel constantly and listening to the gospel is an encouragement in and of itself. And if you're preaching a gospel that is lacking love, then you're actually discouraging not only the people that you're preaching the message to, but the people that are hearing the message, including yourself.
Yes.
And it's not like, this isn't something that's like, oh, that's super difficult to have. It's really difficult for that to happen. It's really easy for it to happen because you're dealing with sin. And like Jeff said, looking into ourselves, well, we should hate the sin that's in ourselves. We should hate the sins that we deal with daily or that creep up on us that we think we overcome, so to speak, and we see again at some point in our life. We should hate that. So when we're looking, when we're staring at sin, so to speak, it can be very easy to become overwhelmed with anger and frustration and hatred, but you can't let that affect the perfection that's in the gospel.
Now let's go to the next question. No.
No,
I'm kidding. Yeah, are you going to take the next question or should
sure,
I go to someone else?
Okay. Yeah, so the question is, in a brief response, can you explain how people have displayed...
Oh, did we do the one above that, the essential test of genuineness?
Oh, we still in one? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. The second question in subpoint one, what is the essential test of genuineness of the Christian profession? Do you want me to read the answer as well, Leo?
Yes, if you would, please.
The answer is, we cannot love Christ unless we love his brethren, for they all bound up in the same bundle of love with him. Love for those whom he has redeemed is assured evidence of spiritual and supernatural love to the Lord Jesus himself. Where the Holy Spirit has brought a supernatural birth, he will draw forth that nature into exercise. He will produce in the hearts and lives and conduct of the saints supernatural graces, one of which is loving all who are Christ for Christ's sake.
Amen. Amen. Any comments or anything on that one? Okay. Let us go to number two, perversion of Christian love. Volunteer. All right, go ahead.
Versions of Christian love. Question. In a brief response, can you explain how people have displayed the perversion of Christian love? Answer. They do so in human sentimentality, carnal pleasures, human amiability and affability, courtesies and kindness of the flesh.
Jeff?
Yeah, a concrete example would be you're kind of going along with people, whether they're in your family or friends. You're not really standing up for the truth. You're not speaking out about the gospel. And it's not necessarily that they want to do sinful things, but you're really kind of silent because you don't want to upset people. And one of the big, I would call it an anti-motivation to do what's right, is that we don't want to hurt people's feelings. And often that comes up. I know I'm dealing with that often, and it's something I'm trying to kill inside me. That, you know what, if there's ways of dealing with people in a gentle way, but no matter what, if you start speaking up for the truth, because one of the things that we're supposed to do is obey God's commandments. And if we don't speak up and love people in truth, it's really not love. And we're withholding that type of love, which is true love. We're withholding that love because we're afraid of upsetting people. And I think that's a large anti-motivation for a lot of us.
To dovetail, anyone else, dovetail that a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
I was just thinking about churches that bring in other that bring in programs or, you know, aspects into their worship or whatever, because they feel like they're going to be drawing people in. You know, we're going to meet your felt needs. You know, we're going to have this grief group, or we're going to have this addiction, you know, group or whatever. And it replaces the truth of the gospel by trying to, you know, we love these people and we care about them, but you're not taking it far enough. You're only meeting their felt physical needs where they are right now, but not, you know, bringing them, you know, I mean, again, very relevant with the abortion clinic. You can't just stop at, you know, oh, don't kill your child because it's sin. You need to say, you know, whatever sin you're dealing with, I'm dealing with sin as well. It all comes down to, you know, sin and sinful choices and being accountable to God, you know, for that.
For Jeff, sin maybe. This is important because the pastor is preaching about this frequently. We're at a time in church where emotionality is related to sentimentality is becoming what defines our experience as being spiritual. Oh, I feel so up and lifted. Oh, man, what? Oh, that's a great church, great whatever. And Jesus Christ may be not part of the mix. And we're in a culture, and especially the unregenerate. I mean, this is pervasive. It is about how I feel. Little or no objectivity. You could show. I don't want to go through this. Whatever. And go ahead, Jeff. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, there are two points I want to make, and the first is, yeah, you know what? A church can have a lot of programs, and not focus on preaching the Word of God. And my thought was, well, you know what, if you really want to bring people in, then offer, like, free alcohol, free drugs, you know, it's California now. So it's like, if you have that mentality, there is no end. You know, where do you stop trying to bring people in? But the second point is, there is a vibrant gospel, Word of God ministry going on in the church, then the needs that people have will be met.
I think the greatest failure, as far as what I see from the question, is that when we love outside of Scripture, anything that, even in Christianity, you hear Christians say, this is God's love. But all of that, whatever we say as far as God's love, has to be constantly checked to Scripture as a whole. There are Christians that will use certain Scriptures that talks about love, and they go overboard with it, but we love because God loved us first. God is love. And the Word of God is really the only source that we have to know how to love and to define the way that we love and conduct ourselves. So no matter what we say love is, it has to be conformed and under the light of Scripture as a whole. Otherwise, we redefined it and given it our own version of it. It becomes a perversion in one way or the other.
Yes?
Yeah, just to go off of Pete and Jeff's point, to quote the late R.C. Sproul, he said, in this exact context, the problem is within the church, we don't know who God is and we don't know who we are. And I think that's where, good. I think R.C., I mean, eloquently and just really simply summarizes it in that statement, and that's what this comes down to. Seeking ministries that serve our needs before the needs of God through His Scripture, what He reveals, how He commands to be worshipped, is ultimately idolatry, and it shows that we are worshiping something other than God, which is a shame, but it's very common.
Last comment, then we'll go to the next one really quickly. Pink really points out, and when you read this passage, it is extremely important, and especially for our young folks who have kids, but for all of us across the spectrum. When they talk about, again, with this sentimentality, amiability, affectability, God chastens those whom He loves. When you get into this thing of, I'm going to make it all pleasant and good and whatever, it becomes one where we're giving ourselves over, in some cases, to Satan, to negative things. What does God do? He chastens us because he loves us. One more, it looks like we have time for. Anyone else want to take under number three, the question, first one under three? I'll read the question for you.
All right, thank you.
It says, who and where is the surest way of obtaining a right concept of the nature of Christian love?
Who and where?
See?
It does come from God, and we love because he first loved us, but the application of that is loving God and loving the brethren. And I like Pink's book because he explains what true love is. And he gave a list of things that Jesus did that didn't seem loving to our modern minds. Like he would upbraid his apostles. He rebuked his mother. You know, he brought out the whip and drove out the money changers. But we have a love for God first. That should be our first starting point. We can rest in God's love. And if we don't understand God's love, then we will not be able to convey true love to others. And that's part of the problem that I think we have. I have a relative who kept hearing about God is love, God is love. And when he reads about Sodom and Gomorrah, he just freaks out. He just doesn't understand that. And we have a loving God, and yet he will send people to hell. And he doesn't love those people because he didn't save them. And there's an action that comes from it. And if we model our love from God, we see that God is a God of action. And we are, and then we are to be that way too.
Okay.
So the answer to your question, Leo, which was who and where is the surest way of obtaining a right concept of the nature of Christian love? By making a thorough study of the perfect exemplification of Christian love in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by taking a comprehensive survey of all that is recorded of him in the four Gospels.
Amen.
I absolutely agree with the answer, but I would just want to encourage the readers and those here today listening to that answer and maybe adding a little bit to it. I would argue that it's the entirety of Scripture that points to Christ. And from Genesis 3:15, where it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. You know, and I know you would agree with this, is that the entire Scriptures are pointing to Christ. And the promise of his love is seen in the entire Scriptures from start to end. And this is where I really, really agree with that answer, is the Gospels show his life and show the witnesses of his life. And I would even argue Acts as well, which is really a monologue, Luke, Acts. I would say Acts as well because it shows the early church and how the early Christians thought of Christ and proclaimed Christ. I was talking to Nick yesterday night and how Peter, a constant reminder when he was preaching the gospel in the early church, was reminding them of what they did to the Messiah. You killed the author of life. You put to death the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. And really, when we think of the love of God, the love of Christ shown for us, we should look to the cross. And that's really what Peter is constantly saying in the early church.
Two quick things, and then maybe, Pastor, what do you want to end at? 5 till, right, 4 till? What's good for you?
5 more minutes.
5 more minutes, okay. Real quick, one of the things that Pink does say, he understood the magnitude of this thing called love in terms of the Christians. So he says at the beginning of the chapter, there's no way he was going to be able to do any justice. The second thing, and you're right, Jay, that beyond the gospel, when reading Pink and the other things, what he's trying to do here is to narrow it down. And he's really, and this is important for us in this lesson, it's really important to remember that he's talking about how we show love one to another within the body. It is amazing that someone would write this. I was a little surprised because, you know, everybody loves the world, do all. Pink says, yes, that's good, but it's you and you and you and you who have professed faith that we will be focusing on. So when you look around, understand that, yeah, we will spread the gospel to the uttermost parts. But he says, these people, us, we are in Christ. And that's where the major portion of what we do and show needs to be manifested. And I have this belief. And the reason for that, because he loves us, obviously, more than, using words like that, he loves us enough unto salvation. So we are special in his eyes. Yes, sir.
I remember a quote from Martin Luther King, and he said that hate cannot overcome hate, but love can overcome hate.
Amen.
And when somebody hates me for being a Christian, you know, just because he just knows what his conviction toward my life, if I show a Christian life, I can't overcome that hate.
Right.
That he has, because I don't know what his past experience was with religion, but I could only show love as best as I can, you know, that he can see that, and hopefully it would change him.
On that, and we'll end, I rest my point, that what Hector says is that he will show the love of Christ regardless of what the outcome is. To me, the bigger picture is this. Is that when we do it to the unregenerate, are we not prayerfully by the Spirit of God providing an opportunity that the Spirit is working on the person who hates you? You are, again, the planter. There'll be watering and harvesting, maybe. But you, from the body of Christ, go out, and then there's opportunity for the gospel to spread both by the message and by the behavior. He asked the question, I've been really negative to you. What is this? I thought, you know, most, they said, well, I would like to be negative, but now I'm a child of the true and living God. And so therefore, I not only don't hate you, but I have a love that comes from Christ that allows me not to retaliate in kind. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Dear Father and dear God, this servant of yours who loves you and loves your brethren, Lord, has begun a task that prayer is from you, and that, oh God, you will be even the author and finisher of what happens in this context. Lord, I pray for the body that, Lord, that from the scriptures and then Pink's use of those scriptures, that we would get information, Lord, that first glorifies you, Lord, that is consistent with the scripture, Lord, that would allow us, Lord, as the people of the Most High God, to go out and show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, Lord, let us be mindful to bask, not be uppity, but bask in a love that resulted in your only begotten Son going to the cross, suffering humiliation and dying as one of the means of showing us how much you've loved us unto eternal life. So do you be the glory, the honor, the praise, both now and ever. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen.